I'm going to call to order a regular meeting of the Gregory Beach City Council for Monday, October 1st, 2012. Would you all please stand and rise with us for a moment of silence for the brave men and women of the United States Armed Forces that have given the ultimate sacrifice for this country? Thank you. Tonight, please remain standing. Our flag salute tonight is going to be led by Anthony Johnson. Anthony is 11 years old and a sixth grade student at Grover Heights Elementary School. He likes reading, math, and all other subjects he studies at school. He likes seeing the ocean and different kinds of birds on the drive in the San Luis Obispo along 101, and he would like to be an archaeologist. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's laudable. And dig up ancient Egyptian artifacts or gems when he finishes his education. Reading, collecting different types of cards, and playing with his daughter is some of Anthony's interest. I believe this evening he's accompanied by his mom and dad and grandma, correct? And his teacher here?
Yeah.
Principal. Principal Kesselring. Yes. Correct. Yes. Very good. So, Anthony, if you want to come on up. Very handsome young man, too. Thank you, Anthony. Keep up the great work. Okay, I think we need a roll call.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you, Donna. City Attorney, would you like to cover our closed session announcements this evening?
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, on Monday, September 17th, the Council met in closed session on three items. One was existing litigation, Grover Beach versus Shukla. Another one was on potential litigation, one case. And one was on the City Manager's performance evaluation. Only one item had reportable action. That was item number two. Unanimously, Council authorized an initiation of litigation on a code enforcement matter pertaining to Ward's Automotive.
Very good. Thank you, City Attorney. Okay, moving on. We're going to consider the agenda. This is an agenda review. This is where the council can considers the agenda as presented by staff and decide if we want to make any changes to the order of the agenda. Do any members want to suggest changing the order of the agenda? If none, I'll accept the motion.
I move that we accept the agenda as presented.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. So we are going to proceed with the agenda as presented this evening. I believe there are extra copies on the table to my right. The first item is a ceremonial calendar, and this is item number one on your agenda. This is a proclamation declaring the month of October 2012 as Rideshare Month. And I recently learned that the individual that was going to receive this proclamation is unable to make it this evening. So what we will do is we'll hold this over until our next meeting on the 15th. Okay? So moving on to our public communications. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. Please bear in mind that if the item is not on the agenda, we cannot take action on that item. Is there anyone that would like to address the council during public communication this evening? Please come forward, state your name and city of residence for the record.
John A. White on 1660 Brighton Avenue. It's going to take more than 3 minutes because this is on water meters, and it seemed to be a problem. I have a problem, too. I came home the other day, last Thursday, and I was headed to Santa Barbara, Santa Santa, and there's a letter on the door that says, Why are they shut up? What are they got?
Thank you.
And inside that is the May, June, July, August, September.
Well, John, why don't you go back to the podium? We can record you.
And I had a guy do this for me, but he's young, inexperienced. Here's yours, you can divide it. I had another one, but I didn't have time for any of them. You know, when you're young, things don't happen as fast. So, I called Lynn, and Lynn, well, Gail's not here, he's not here. I said, I'm on my Sunset Bar, but don't shut it off. Because I've lived in here 55 years. I have never, ever had a brown yard. I have never, ever had to not water my avocado trees. The lawn is dying, the trees are dying, and I'm rationing water. That's a no-no for this place. This place is next to the beach. It has 1.5 million people coming through here. I've been back to the east twice, 2009 and 12. Those people suffer because they don't have the million coming through here like you do. You shouldn't have black tower, the stores. So, this goes back to May. And I had gone back to Indiana. And I paid the bill before I left May 20. At that time, both 1636 Brighton, the rental, 55 years old. I've only touched it up, plumbing and so forth. But mine, 1660, has 3 years ago, I put new plumbing in. I had two plumbers in the last couple months, $80 an hour, a pest control guy. All three went through that house. And all three said, there's no leaks. But your people said, there's a leak. Yet next door, the rent is a, but this is the third water meter. And so he told me the water meter runs slow. Well, you know, I went to a one-room school. I worked for Safeway for 37 years. We had a lot of water going through that meat department. But I know for a fact it's by the law of gravity that water flows. Now, if there's some idiot engineer that's smart, come and tell me. But I know it's not slow. If it was slow, it would be less than 130 with a leak. It's simple. But 3.5, 4.0 people, they don't get it. So I come back, and I paid it all the next door $130. But I didn't pay this one, and I wrote on there, prorate. I got a call from him this evening. I saw him yesterday because my niece decided I need to get some stress taken care of. My son told me the other day, this guy died, works with him, 50 years old, heart attack. Dad, you better watch yourself. Well, I'm German. I'm going to stick around because I got a little girl, great-granddaughter, year old, and a boy, 4. And that boy is smarter than most 15-year-old boys because he can go out and do things. But anyway, 163, 130. I'm gone. I've been gone there for a month, Alvis. Now, you people are smart and tell. She did me a favor. She called back there. I did, too. But he hung up on me when I told him that it was a piece of junk. Nothing in France goes to outer space. They don't make it. They make it in the USA. I've always been told, by USA, by American made. 6 years ago, you and whoever else was up there bought this piece of junk. It malfunctions. So I want you to tell him, because you're the dictator. I know that for a fact.
Thank you, John.
Tell him, I want
why don't you wrap up?
And somebody from that factory to come and tell. Because yesterday I heard a lady tell me that her daughter had to pay $300 and they're not there. And here's the notice. First time in 55 years. You know, you're going to be a mayor. I'm going to listen to you tomorrow night. So I want to hear what you say. Hey,
John, yes. I need you to wrap up. Other people want to speak.
I'm just telling you.
Understand.
Any time that you allow a town to fold and shut the September 14th, I came down to pay the bill. What?
John,
I've
given you extra time, John. I need you to wrap up.
That's a disgrace.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address the Council on Public Communications?
Good evening. My name is Jeff Lee, the chair of the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission. Just want to give you a quick little update on what's been happening this past summer and what's going to happen in October. So if you were at the Sizzling Summer Concert Series yesterday at Ramona Garden Park, you saw the wrap-up of the concert series in the farmers markets with a fabulous presentation by Monty Mills, and notwithstanding his 13-year-old, I think it was his niece, who was a fabulous singer and fiddle player as well. So a couple things coming up in October. This Sunday, October 7th, is actually the 13th annual Cal Poly Women's Basketball Clinic. The Cal Poly Women's Basketball team comes to one of the parks and actually does a free clinic for young women who want to play basketball in the future. And notwithstanding the fact that it's 90 degrees today, it is actually fall. And fall brings around Halloween. And Halloween on October 26th will bring around our carved pumpkin contest and Halloween activities event. So just a couple things happening in October. And if you want to plan that far ahead, December 1st is our themed Wild West holiday, annual holiday parade and Santa's workshop. So a couple things happening. I'm available for questions. And if anyone has any students or anything that wants to do classes, you can go online at www.grover.org or call Parks and Rec at 473-4580 for more information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Is there anyone else that would like to address the Council on Public Communication this evening? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close and bring it back to the council. Bob, can you shed some light on, I know Mr. Weissong had brought some concerns up.
Yes. First of all, let me tell you that we've been working on this issue for the better part of 2 or 3 months. He is correct. He did have a high reading last billing cycle previous to the one that's coming up. He did receive a notice. The notice was by practice. Notices are issued to everyone that doesn't have a bill paid. As soon as I learned that the issue, the notice had been put in a new one. And thus far, the last two meters have been reading accurate. We don't believe that he has a leak. I am in the process of looking at perhaps reasons that he may have had a reading that was 3 units in excess of what his average is. And I have told him that I would make my findings in writing and provide him any adjustments that I think are necessary.
Okay, very good. And just out of curiosity, if he is not satisfied with your findings, what is it? Does he
well, any decision that I make is still subject to the council review.
Very good. Okay. So let's move on to our public hearings this evening. This is item number 2, and this is consideration of zoning code update to bring into conformance with land use and housing elements. Mr. Buckingham.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. On August 20th, the council considered the second reading of an ordinance to update the zoning code to bring it into conformance with the land use and housing elements. As a result of the public input from a private property owner on Beckett Street, the council did direct staff to revise the section on legal nonconforming uses to increase the abandonment period in the coastal commercial zone to 1 year. This revision only affects the newly created coastal commercial zone, which is generally bounded by Ramona, Front, Beckett, and Atlantic City. All other areas of the city would have a new abandonment period of 180 days for nonconforming uses. As indicated by the council, staff was coming back and only going to address this one specific change. With that said, we are recommending the council conduct a public hearing, introduce the ordinance to amend the municipal code as part of the comprehensive update to the zoning code by title only, and schedule the second reading and adoption at the next meeting.
Thank you, Bruce. Any questions of staff? None? No? Okay. This is a public hearing item. Let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to address the item before the council this evening? Okay, seeing none, let me bring it back. Any discussion?
I have only one. I have only one question.
Okay.
In the first paragraph on page 2, part of the language, if a nonconformist use is discontinued for a continuous period of 1 year or more in the coastal commercial zone, all rights to legal nonconforming status shall terminate, and the director shall make a determination of discontinuance based on evidence, etc. Is this a good idea? And I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm just asking whether or not we should put that responsibility on the director. Is that okay with everybody? And secondly, if the other party disagrees with the director, they, I believe, would then have the option to appeal his decision and come before the council. Is that correct?
Mr. Buckingham?
That is correct, except an appeal of my decision would go to the Planning Commission first.
Okay, Planning Commission, and then to the council,
if they
still weren't happy.
Yes.
Okay, is there any comment or any thought on that much responsibility being placed with the director? Is that good or bad or okay? Only question I have.
Who would you like to answer that?
Okay. Well, actually, I have a comment.
Okay.
Is this wording any different than it is elsewhere when it talks about the six-month period?
Bruce?
It is the same.
It is the same? Yeah. So it's already been in here all this time?
It was in the draft is a zoning code that you did review previously, and I think it is consistent with the general purpose and intent, even in our current zoning code, that is responsibility is given to the director to review those facts.
Okay, good. That's all I have.
Okay, so just two comments on my end as someone with a little bit of experience. But I would say any decision that the director makes is appealable to the commission, and then if they're not satisfied with the commission's decision, they can appeal that to the city council. So I think there are administrative remedies for anyone who are not in agreement with this. The second thing I did want to say is I wasn't at the last meeting when we discussed the issue of nonconforming, and I want to just make sure that the whole point of a nonconforming use is if there is a change in land use map or policy and there is an existing use, we want a motion on this item.
I'll make a motion that we conduct a public hearing, introduce ordinance to amend the municipal code by title only, and schedule the second reading and adoption at the next regular city council meeting.
Second. Okay. So let's a motion by Councilmember Bright, second by Councilmember Molnar.
No,
no,
well,
that was that.
Peterson.
I'm sorry, Peterson. Sorry. Okay.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. Let's move on to our consent agenda. And this is where we typically take items that are considered routine items as a group. Do any members want to pull any item from consent? It looks like we've got 6 items on consent this evening. I don't have any requests from the audience or the public to speak on these items. So if there's no one wanting to pull any item from consent, someone prepared to make a motion.
I'll move for staff's recommendation.
I'll second that.
Okay, so let me get this one right. Motion by Councilmember Peterson and a second by Councilmember Molnar, correct? This will be a roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, let's move on to regular business tonight. This is item number 9. This is the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2. This is the award of contract and scheduling options. Public Works Director and City Engineer Greg Ray.
Good evening, Mayor, Honorable Mayor.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. Tonight's item is the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 2, Award of Construction Contract and Scheduling Options. There is a fair amount of detail related to this item in your staff report. I'm sure you've had a chance to review that. And so I think tonight, in order to simplify the initial discussion, I would like to focus on a few main points. Then if council has any questions, I can answer them and get into more detail later on in that discussion. So to begin with, at a previous council meeting, council divided the project into a base bid and a bid alternate. On the overhead here, there's a copy of this in your staff report as attachment 5. This shows the overall project as envisioned. The base bid on this project consists of new decorative concrete crosswalks at 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th Streets along West Grand Avenue, decorative concrete intersections at 9th and 10th Streets, landscaped medians from 8th to 9th and 10th to 11th. There's an existing one that would be re-landscaped from 9th to 10th. Accessible corner ramps at all of the intersection corners between 8th and 11th, and minor street repairs and minor sidewalk repairs throughout the project. A bid alternate was separated out, which includes, it's called bid alternate 1. It includes sidewalk street trees and minor sidewalk repairs between 8th and 11th. Also includes the decorative street lights and street furniture everywhere except 9th to 10th because they already exist there. So that's the general concept of the project. So, again, in order to sort of simplify the discussion, I'd like to focus Council's attention on two main questions that we really need to answer in order to proceed with this project. The first question is, basically, does Council want to allocate additional funds in order to award Phase 2 of the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project? So that's the first question. I'm going to change to an overhead for funding here. Good. This is also in your staff report. This is just a blown-up version of the funding and project cost analysis. So the funding analysis indicates that you've budgeted $813,370 in grant and local funds for completion of this project. The low bid for the base project only, as I previously described that, is $938,141, and that was from Brough Construction. Adding an additional soft cost, which would include testing and inspection and contingency funding, we've estimated we need $1 million over $1.5 million. And the budget shortfall in that case would be just over $707,000, so a fairly sizable shortfall. In order to proceed with the base bid and bid alternate one and to allocate funds for those purposes, we would essentially deplete both the gas tax fund and the local street rehab project for this fiscal year. So to summarize that first part of the discussion, the first question is, does Council want to allocate additional funds in order to award this project tonight? So the second main question here is, assuming Council wants to proceed, when does Council want to construct the project? And there's a number of options. If Council approves award of the construction contract tonight, actual construction on the project could begin in mid to late November. Assuming no delays, the contractor would work continuously through to completion in about mid-April. I estimate between 4 and 5 months for completion. As an option, a council could award bid alternate number 2 in the amount of $25,000, which would allow work to start in mid to late November, then suspend work for the month of December, and work would resume in January. Work would then proceed until completion at about mid-May. A third option would be to delay the start of construction until January. Again, assuming no other delays, work would then continue until about mid-May. So that's a pretty rough summary of a lot of information, basically boiling it down to two questions. allocating additional funding for the project, and when would you like to go to construction? So staff has identified four alternatives for council consideration this evening. Alternative one is staff's recommendation, and that is to adopt the resolution awarding the base bid only to Brough Construction in the amount of $938,141.20, to delay the construction start date until January, to adopt the resolution to allocate $292,571 of additional funding from the gas tax fund balance. And there's a side note there that would include swapping the contingency funds, which are currently grant funded, with local funds. And we can talk more about that if you have questions. And four, authorize the city manager to assign and affirm change orders in amounts up to $74,000 to be deducted from said contingency fund. And then finally, authorize the mayor to execute the contract on behalf of the city. Now, the two questions I spoke about earlier are reflected in these remaining alternatives. So alternative two would be to award the construction contract and perhaps a bid alternative to Brough Construction. Provide direction to staff regarding the construction start date and allocate additional funding as needed from either of the two funds mentioned earlier, which were the gas tax fund balance or the local street rehab project, CIP 283. Option three, or alternative three, is to delay award of the project tonight and provide additional direction to staff. And alternative four, which is provided really in case council decided not to allocate additional funding, would be to reject all bids, modify the project scope, and re-advertise for bids as soon as possible. Again, a fairly brief summary of the project, but I think that allows council the opportunity to ask questions. So I'll, at this point, I'll turn it back to council.
Okay. If there's any questions to my right. Councilmember Bright?
I have a few. First of all, just talking about the bid itself. So when we're talking about the bid itself, the alternative number one within the bid itself, that is to do the tell me what the alternative one is. That's for the street trees.
Okay, yeah. The bid alternative number one includes installation of a number of street trees where they're currently missing or where some are in such bad shape that they need to be replaced.
Okay.
It also includes minor sidewalk repairs throughout the project, which is 8th to 11th streets. It includes a decorative, the green iron street lights like we did on the 2nd to 4th project. It includes those throughout the project except for between 9th and 10th because they're already there. And it includes the street furniture everywhere except 9th to 10th because, again, it's already there.
Okay. And then alternative number two is simply to delay the project.
It's just a scheduled suspension in the project. Okay. And we need a price for that. So that's not how we set the project up, but it possibly could happen. So in the budget as it stands, you have SHA funds, approximately $300,000. Mm-hmm. You have STIP TE funds, $532,000, and then there's a small amount of water funds because there are some water utilities that have to be moved or raised in this project, and that's an amount of $25,000.
Okay. So basically then we've got $830,000 worth of funds that are not ours. That aren't city funds.
Most
that are available for us to use.
Sounds about right.
Okay. I think those are my questions for now at the moment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem?
No. Not at the moment.
My left. Debbie?
Nope. No questions right now.
Phyllis?
Oh, I do. Okay. The $292,000 that we are short, this is because the bid came in more than we expected?
Essentially, yes.
Essentially,
I mean,
yes.
I'll look back a little bit. The CIP did anticipate, that, you know, the adopted capital improvement program did anticipate that this project was underfunded. So partially, we knew it was probably going to come in a little bit higher, and we knew that there was a potential to have to allocate additional funds. And then partially, the bid environment is not what it was. We're back to normal price bids.
All right, thank you. And then could you clarify a bit about the fourth option of rejecting all bids, modify the project, and re-advertise for bids?
If the project were underfunded as it's currently been bid, the base bid or the bid alternates, and council elected not to allocate additional funding, in an effort to save the STIP TE funds and SHA funds, I think the only option would be to modify the project scope, you know, essentially reduce the project scope, work with the state and the federal government to reprocess the project as quickly as possible. We'd have to put it back out to bid, and then we have a deadline in December, I believe it's the end of December, to award a bid for this project. I say I think because I have a call into Caltrans Local Assistance to see if that process would work, and I don't really have an answer yet. So,
what would you suggest for the scale down?
I think I'd leave that up to council to determine what their highest priorities are. As I understood it in previous council meetings, the landscape medians are fairly high priority, and having some identifying features such as decorative concrete is a high priority. So something that combines elements of both of those and in a reduced scope, but at this point I don't have a firm idea in mind.
All right, thank you.
So, Greg, maybe you can just clarify. We're talking about transportation enhancement dollars of $532,000, and then there was another $300,000. So basically, we went from having roughly about $832,000, and if you considered the $68,000 match, $900,000 for construction, is there a reason why we are now at $685,000? And maybe you can just clarify.
The 685 figure takes out the dollars for funding the contingency. So we have to fund a contingency in order to receive the grant funding, and also takes out dollars for construction management. So, you know, we have a total budget, and the soft costs are unfortunately part of completing the project.
So were any of these funds used for engineering is really what I'm getting at.
The funds that we're talking about tonight?
Well, I'm talking about the funds that Slocock had awarded for this project.
Previous SHA funds and local funds were used for engineering.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. And then I see in the contingency you've got, 7.9 or 8%. So that's a money that if the project is done on time and in budget, then it possibly would not need to use that contingency, correct?
That's correct. And there's a recommendation in the staff report, and I alluded to it earlier tonight. I'm recommending, you know, right now on the books, the contingency is funded by SHA funds. I'm recommending that we fund it with local funds because, just for that reason, if we don't use the money and it's grant funds, we'll be giving it back.
Yeah.
And we don't want to give back money if we, you know, especially in the amount of $74,000. So.
Okay. So basically, we would have had to use some other source to pave the road once we've done the enhancements, correct?
Right, either the SHA funds or gas tax funds or street funds.
Or local funds, yeah.
Right.
So the other question that comes to mind is that I know that we decided to transfer $105,000 from the Transit Center 9th Street project down to the train station expansion project. Where is that project at? In the process?
The transit station expansion project? Staff is working on two fronts on that. One is the environmental front,
and that is getting an environmental assessment done, a biological assessment done, and pushing that forward so we know what we're dealing with in terms of the wetlands. And the second front is getting the design, the soils testing done, and getting the design phase started. So,
okay, because I was wondering if that might be a source that would be better served bringing it back downtown. But I know that Slow Cog, excuse me, I know that Slow Cog has an item on the agenda on Wednesday to, I guess, formalize that and then even add some additional funds for that project.
And it's those funds, to the best of my recollection, and you can correct me because you're on the board there, but I believe they're transit related. I think they have to be transit.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Just about that, those funds originated, I think, with the Ramona project, if I'm not mistaken, and so they would be transit related. So they were left over from that project.
Okay. I'm not sure if I agree completely, but I'm not going to belabor that point up here. Okay.
One more question.
Yes.
So regarding the contingency funds, do you really see, I don't see there's going to be a whole lot of digging or anything like that. Do you see that there's going to be a big need for change orders in this project?
Well, I'd like to be optimistic and say there'll be no change orders, but you have to go into a project with a contingency plan.
I understand that, but yeah. I mean, do you as a professional and looking at this project, do you see it as being?
I think there's plenty of potential. I mean, you're looking at a somewhat complex project. Anytime a project touches a lot of existing improvements, especially underground improvements, other utilities, interactions with private property, there's plenty of room for contract change orders.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
And then my final question is, you had touched on this a little bit earlier about the option to delay and that there were some deadlines that would put funds in jeopardy. That's correct? Is that correct?
Yeah, the December deadline would definitely be the end of the STIP-TE funds. The SHA funds, you'll recall those funds were allocated a long time ago, and we're under a lot of pressure to move that project forward. I don't know how far we could push that, but the December deadline is definitely looming.
And then if we were to say, let's revise this project and go back through that process, how long? I mean, it's taken a long time to get to this point, so I'm just wondering what you thought that length of time might be on that process.
I think we'd barely make it by December. Having it awarded.
You won't make that. I mean, yeah. Let's be realistic. You're not going to make December.
That would be really moving.
Okay. Okay, I think those are all the questions for staff at this point. This is a regular business item, and I'm going to just open this up to the public because I know there are folks here tonight. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this item before the council? Okay, seeing none, let me close it and bring it back. All right. Let's have some discussion. Mayor Pro Tem.
I'll start. I think with the delays that we've had so far and the pressure that we're under to get this completed, I think, or at least to get the contract out, I think we ought to move forward with item number one. That certainly would be my recommendation. I think it puts us in the best position to move forward with this project, and I think there will come a day once we get this project completed that we're going to get the same comments from the general public that we currently get with the work that we've done between 4th and Highway 1. So I strongly recommend that we proceed with alternate number one.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson.
I'm in agreement with that. We've got a huge chunk of cash coming in from sources that are not specifically local funds, and so I think under the circumstances it's a good idea to take advantage of those. They may not be available later, and it is in keeping with our ongoing priorities and goals and our direction from
scale it down without it being such a big big deal for going out for another bid. I mean, there must be something we can do, because I do not agree with taking almost another $300,000 of money that we really cannot afford to spend right now on decoration. Okay, And I don't know that we have actually improved our situation with what we did down on, you know, between 4th and the highway. Can you answer that question?
City manager?
Yes. There are a couple of things, and then I'll ask the city attorney and the public works director to chime in. First of all, you would substantially change the bid. Everything has to remain as fair as it was originally bid. If you substantially change the project, you'd have to go out and go through the bid process all again because it becomes a different project. Secondly, and this may be more to the public works director, the timing issue really begins to get to be a concern because, if I'm not mistaken, once you change the bid document, it has to go through all the review with the state again, and that could be a substantial delay because they have the Office of Local Assistance essentially has to approve all of the bids and specs, so it moves you back, and that typically doesn't happen overnight. So, I'm thinking that if you substantially chose to modify the project, the likelihood is that you would lose at least the $532,000.
Okay.
What about when we had different alternatives to choose from? Wasn't there a cheaper alternative to the decorative paving? I remember there were several choices.
There were. City Attorney.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, if the bid was sent out as a packet, whether those choices were opted for by the council before the bid went out. Once the bid is submitted as a packet or as a single item and the base bid of 900 and some odd thousand is a base packet or a one item job, you cannot remove anything from that without going back out and rebidding it.
Okay, I understand.
And if there's alternatives like Mr. Ray identified, you can make a choice of either agreeing to have the contractor do the alternative or not. But the base project as bid cannot be altered then in order to pay less money. It has to go out to bid in the way that it's going to be awarded.
Right. Then I have one other question.
Okay.
We discussed this months and months ago. Why did it take this long for it to come to us and then have such a short period of time in which to deal with this problem? If it had come to us sooner, then we could have looked at alternatives. What happened?
It was, and then I'll ask Greg to follow up, but it was essentially taking the council's direction, and the reality is we had to submit the project to the California Transportation Commission and have its program approved. That was approved at the end of June. We couldn't proceed to bid prior to that date. Then the bid documents had to be reviewed, and we actually received final approval to proceed with the bid process at late July, early August.
Late July. Yeah.
So the reality is that we had the engineer's estimate. We were taking council direction and didn't think it prudent in terms of the trying to get this through as quickly as possible to bring it back in an intermittent basis. Greg, anything else?
Well, I mean, I think it's a good question because I think it's a very common question. How can this project take so long? If it was all local funding, we can move pretty quickly. When you get into the federal grant funding arena, it is an amazing process. There's a mountain of paperwork. And, if you look at it from a different perspective, Caltrans Local Assistance, who walks us through the project administration process, didn't think we would make the CTC meeting in June, at the end of June. And they didn't think we'd make it. They thought it was too fast. So we made that meeting and then got final authorization from the feds on July 23rd. So, it's a lot of stuff.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
I did have one other question.
Okay.
If we're talking about the gas tax funds being used to make up the difference, or as our part of the contribution, what
$1,000 from somebody else's money? So I'd say that I would be in I'd be in favor of going forward with the base bid of this project. So.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
Great. Okay. So I'll just say that I had the same question about, not necessarily about how we got to this point, because obviously the process is the process, and the fact of the matter is you don't know how much the project is going to cost until you get your bids and then have to decide if we're going to go forward or if we're going to try and change the project. But that said, I think staff is well aware of my frustration and level of this project taking so long. I think the reason we got the additional $300,000 is that I had represented to SLOCOG members and staff that the project was closer to being constructed than it actually has been. And so I've got to deal with those credibility issues. So I can't begin to tell you how disappointed I am that this project has taken this long. And I don't know if that affected the bid environment. So I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus tonight, but I do want to just kind of register my disappointment in the length of time this has taken. But that said, the fact that if we were not using gas tax funds on this, we would do all these nice enhancements and then still have a street between 8th and 9th that's cracking and breaking apart. So it only makes sense that if we're moving forward with these enhancements that we invest some of the gas tax funds to actually do the pavement in the heart of the downtown. I understand the need to push construction off to January. I'm just wondering if there's something that can be done in advance of that. What I'm now worried about is if we say let's push it off to January and let's say we have a rainy winter and it starts earlier, then this project starts moving and moving and moving. And I don't want to disrupt businesses during the holiday season. So I just hope that if the council chooses to defer construction to January, that contracts be signed, the dozers or whatever the equipment they're using be running, and when we get into 2013, this project starts, especially if the weather is cooperative. So those are my final words, hopefully, on this project. Mayor Pro Tem.
I would, if you're ready, I'll make a motion, but I would also like to comment with the problems we had with the businesses between 4th and Highway 1 when we did that work down there. And that wasn't during the holiday season. So I can imagine we will still probably get a number of complaints from the businesses as this work progresses. And I think if we try to do it and mess up the holiday traffic, I think we're leaving ourselves wide open for some extra criticism. And I honestly believe that if we put it off till the first of the year, we can hope for the best with the weather, but I think that's a smart thing to do. If you're ready for a motion, I'll make one.
If you'd like to.
Actually, excuse me, please.
Yes.
I just have one other question.
Okay.
How much actual street repair is going to be accomplished here, and is it all coming from the gas tax fund that portion?
You know, looking at the portions of the project that are eligible for the grant funding, a large percentage of the gas tax funds would end up being on the street repair and stuff that's not part of the sidewalk repairs and the corner ramps, things that aren't part of the enhancement that the grant funds for. The street will be spot repaired, basically 8th to 11th. So the bad spots that you see out there now will be completely dug out and replaced. The remainder of the street, there's some life left in that. So, you know, we'll finish that with a slurry seal. I suspect, you know, we'll see a pretty good service life out of that. So it'll look nice when it's done. It'll look like a complete project.
All right, thank you.
Okay. So proceed with your motion.
Okay, I move that we adopt. Do you want the entire motion, or do we want to break this up?
Let's just make it the entire motion.
Okay, I move that we adopt the resolution awarding the base bid to Brough Construction in the amount of $938,141.20, that we delay the construction start date until January, and that we adopt the resolution to allocate $292,571 of additional funding for the project from
Appointing a chair and vice chair to an actual rotation. The order will be Aurora Grandy, Grover Beach, Pismo, Oceano, the CSA 12, and the AG member. So currently the chair is Aurora Grandy and the vice chair is Grover Beach, which is myself. Just a report on the level of the lake. Right now Lopez Lake is at 80.6% capacity. That was as of August 31st. Full capacity is 49,200 acre feet. We are now at 39,644 acre feet. We did have a surplus of 496.42 acre feet, and we have used 295.52 acre feet of that. So currently we have 200.90 acre feet left to us. There will be a savings at the end of the fiscal year from routine and non-routine operation and maintenance. We don't know exactly what that will be, but we will be probably getting a credit. And basically that's it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. I did have an air pollution control board meeting, and, you know, it's just a crazy day today, and I'm afraid I don't have my notes with me.
Okay, so you want to just give us a report on the 15th?
Yes, please.
Very good. Phyllis, I did have a question for you. I'm sorry.
Certainly.
What's the status of the HCP and the environmental?
Okay. Well, because we did not have a meeting in July because of there was no one in town, everything has been pushed forward. And what we did have was basically a review of all of the different agencies that are going to have to be taken care of and an explanation of what each of these agencies requires. And that includes the Federal Endangered Species Act, the State Endangered Species Act, the California Environmental Quality Act, the National Environmental Policy Act, and the National Historic Preservation Act. And at the next meeting, we will be moving forward with further explanation of what's happening, but what I understand is everything is on schedule.
Very good. And I'm sorry, I use an acronym. It's the Habitat Conservation Plan and Environmental Impact Report.
Well, I could have said the FISA and the CISA and the CEQA and the NEPA and the NEHAPA.
There you go. Okay, Councilmember Peterson.
Yes, the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce is launching their Grover Beach Subcommittee on Business Development. They call it Grover Pride, and they'll be launching that on Friday evening. And they have also, I know that the chair of that, Duke Sterling, has visited every business on Grand in Grover Beach. And the SLO County Visitors and Conference Bureau completed the Savor the Central Coast event this weekend. I'm told that they were on target in terms of their funding. And I have to say, for the third year, they did a fabulous job of taking into account people's feedback and comments on how to do even better than they have before. And I think they did a fabulous job, and I'm sure next year will be better than this year was. And the Economic Vitality Corporation did meet. There wasn't anything of great import to the council. Thanks.
Okay, very good. Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
The Housing Services Oversight Committee did meet. There was nothing of any significance, a few changes in the bylaws insofar as membership is concerned and a period of time on the membership and making sure that we don't change the entire membership at the same time, alternate insofar as the communities that change membership from year to year, two-year time frame is what they're working on insofar as the bylaws are concerned, so that they will change memberships from different communities every 2 years. Other than that, they continue to work towards the service center that's going to hopefully be built on South Hygira, but they are not making much progress on that. They support the South County Homeless Services Center that is still looking for a piece of property to build their facility. I believe some of the council members, in fact, staff and council members, were at the, what was it called, the soup? The bowl?
Empty bowls.
Lunch, which appeared to me to be a tremendous success. It was $25 per person, and I got to believe, from my observations, there probably were, I would guess, close to 1,000 people that attended that over the three-hour period that it was open. So I think it was very successful. I haven't got a report on that yet, haven't talked to anybody, but I will follow up on that and see how successful it was. Insofar as the sanitation district is concerned, Wednesday morning, the regional water quality control, so that everybody will have a copy of this document. And it is in color, the original. This was made today for the benefit of all of you to have a copy, but the original is in color.
I have a question of the sanitation district.
Okay, Phyllis.
Isn't the contract for the Wallace Group coming up soon, the renewal?
Contract for what?
Isn't there a yearly contract with John Wallace and the Wallace Group?
I'm not sure when that comes up for renewal. I would have to look, find out.
I would like to make a suggestion that, based upon what's recently occurred with the sanitation district, that we all be apprised of that renewal coming up and that we have a discussion concerning it.
Okay.
So why don't you confirm, if that's in fact true, report back to this group. But yeah. I think the matter of John Wallace's contract is a matter for the board itself. So we'll have to figure out how we can discuss that and maintain, I'm not going to say separation, but certainly some of the legal challenges that we might have.
I think it would be...
Yeah, City Attorney.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council Member, I think it would be helpful for staff to know whether, if in fact the contract is up for renewal, whether the majority of the council wishes to agendize that item for discussion, recognizing the fact that, as correctly pointed out by the mayor, it is a matter of the sanitary district decisions, not a matter of city council's decisions.
Okay. Well, I beg to differ because our representative represents us in that decision-making process, and should not we be involved in that?
Well, what I'm saying is that confirm that, and if we want to put it on an agenda and have that discussion with our representative, he would then take that in his position on that board. It's similar to the conversation we had regarding the dust rule whole issue, in which the council expressed a certain view, and our representative representing the regional body made a decision based on that her role with APCD. So I think it's pretty much the same thing.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm not discouraging it. I'm just saying there are certain limitations on what we can do. That's all. So for me, nothing really to report for SLOCOG because there's a meeting on Wednesday, as well as the Regional Transit Authority. Nothing new for South County Area Transit. I will say that with the five cities fire joint powers authority, or the five cities fire authority, that board continues to move forward with exploring the possibility of a benefit assessment district to generate revenues to certainly sustain itself and to look at potential funding for future growth. I know they were very cooperative in the negotiations this year with our city manager, and I believe there was a realized savings to the city of Grover Beach in about, the amount was what, about $122,000?
$122,000 from the initial estimate, budget estimate provided us by the fire JPA.
And that allowed us to close our
right.
the budget gap. So I know that the group is looking for ways to, and they understand with the economy the way it is that there will others are looking for some concessions, and so they are looking at ways to come up with a more stable funding source. And the next time there's a meeting and direction, I will let you all know. I did want to let you know about the Beachfront Lodge and the Conference Center, and I believe the city manager may have sent out an email. And when we last reported, we had gone to Santa Cruz on August 29th to meet with Coastal staff, including the new executive director, Charles Lester, to, one, reintroduce ourselves to him, two, to identify what their concerns were with the project. And one of the things that, well, two of the things that came out of that is that they are looking, we're considering trying bringing this item to the full commission for a vote in December. I don't know if anything has changed since August, but I do know that Dr. Lester wanted to get a better feel for the site and will be in the area on November 13th, correct, City Manager? You want to fill in on that?
Yes. In fact, I just received that email this afternoon or this evening from Mr. Lester, Dr. Lester himself, indicating that he was going to be here November 13th, and could we make time available for him to do a site visit. So we'll accommodate that. Obviously, it will mean that we certainly aren't going to make the November.
Encouraging. They have been slow to warm up to the idea of providing that facility on the south side of Grand. And so he wants to come and get a better look of existing conditions. And so that's one of the primary reasons he's going to be making a site visit.
Good.
Okay. Okay. So that's all I have. Oh, take that back. So League of California Cities, I did attend that the September the 5th through the 7th, I believe. And the real highlights that I did want to share with the group was that the board, the league's board of directors, and the General Assembly chose not to take a position on Proposition 30, which is the governor's sales tax measure, or a position on Prop 31, which is being brought forward by California Ford, and it talks about how the state and counties and even cities would adopt their budgets. So those were really the two large items at that conference. So did anyone have any questions on that? Okay. So we have no city council member items.
Oh, do we have discussion or things we could bring up?
Yes, you want to do? Let's do that now. Council communications. So go ahead, Phyllis.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm sure you all got this email from Morro Bay concerning the seismic testing, and I was wondering if we would consider doing the same, which would be to have a resolution opposing it, based upon all the information that's been coming out and the danger to the marine life.
I don't believe I received that. In what form did that arrive?
It was a series of correspondence.
Was that in the council?
It was distributed about a week ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
If the council wishes to consider or even discuss a possibility of adoption of a resolution, my recommendation would be that if a majority of the council wishes to do that, that the item be agendized for the next council meeting.
And as has been in the past, I should recuse myself on this item if you choose to place this on an agenda, or if the majority does.
I don't believe I've seen any information regarding, I don't have enough information, so I'd have to see something. I wouldn't be adverse to it.
Okay.
Okay.
So, do you want to?
Is there a majority of the council that wishes this item on the next council agenda?
I guess I need some more information. So, what is it that we're talking about?
Okay. Well, we received. The city manager sent us all Was this an email or a letter that was sent to us?
Actually, it was a copy of a resolution drafted by the city of Morro Bay, and I think it was sent via email, but it was hard copied to everyone.
Yes, in which they expressed their concern over the threat to the marine life from the seismic testing.
Okay.
And the impact it will have on them especially and anyone commercially for fishing, tourism.
Okay.
And the problems that might occur with the testing.
All right, I understand. I haven't read the EIR, have you?
No, I haven't.
I'd need to see the EIR and all like that, so that's where I'd need to go first before I did something like that. So if we wanted to review the EIR, that's where I guess we'd need to. So if I could get a copy of the EIR, I guess that's where I'd want to go first before I did anything.
So staff, is there a way you can get the council additional information?
What I was going to say is that we can, I'm sure, get a copy of that EIR. It may take a few days, but we can get a copy of the EIR and have it available in the council office for council members to come by and take a look at it.
You know, I'm sure I could probably get it online.
Or information to a link, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That would be good.
Okay. So it sounds like members are looking for more information before they make a decision on that item. Am I capturing that correctly?
I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I wanted to bring up one thing. A teacher who's at Grover Heights and her son who's at Grover Heights and the whole family has gone through there. Sammy Jeffers is 7 years old, and we discovered that he has a brain tumor in his brainstem that is inoperable and will be having to go down to Los Angeles once a week for the next 2 years for chemotherapy. And
visitor serving services that were provided out of that facility. With the combination of the chamber has vacated that building and it's now available. Initially, what I thought might be prudent would be some discussions with Amtrak, because we've heard at council meetings in the past that there may be some interest in seeing if we can't get the office staffed by someone from Amtrak. It would make good sense. Approached Amtrak. Initially, I got a positive indication from their director of corridor operations. But since they have recently updated me and said that is not going to be in the future, largely because they're trying to get away from manned stations as it is. They are emphasizing a lot of e-ticketing, online ticketing, and de-emphasizing having personnel available at sites to actually carry on that function. So since Amtrak is not going to be interested, staff's other recommendation is that we begin the process to seek a user, probably a commercial user. I would think that we would want someone that is going to use it for a visitor-serving kind of business, possibly, again, because of its location. The current, roughly, I checked the local market, and leasing is roughly $1 per square foot. You've got about 500 square feet in the building, so it's not going to raise a lot of money. But again, it could provide a way of perhaps with the proper business being a value to both visitors and citizens alike that may frequent the area. So essentially, I wanted to report on what I've done thus far with that building.
Any questions of the city manager?
Please.
Karen?
How big did you say it was?
It's roughly 500 square feet. It's relatively small.
Yeah, I thought it was. Okay, thank you.
Are we able, as a council, and I know this isn't an agenda item as such, or maybe it is, are we able to stipulate that it must be visitor serving? Because I think that we shoot ourselves in the foot
if we do anything other than visitors serving there, because it's such a such a critical location with regard to the train station and Highway 1 and also the conference center. Can we insist on that?
City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. As a landlord, as long as it's not discriminatory, you can certainly choose the type of business that you wish to have as a potential tenant. My recommendation would be that if that is your direction to staff, that we have a reasonable definition of what visitor serving means.
So I see Bruce back in the doorway. Bruce. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, rejoining us. So what is the land use and zoning designation of the site where the train?
Currently it remains coastal plan commercial because the changes of the council may have not been approved by the Coastal Commission. So basically, by definition, the coastal plan commercial in our use tables does lay out only visitor serving types of uses. In fact, it is very limited in that particular area. So I think the only types of maybe office uses that are permitted are real estate agents or travel agencies off the top of my head. So it's very limited in office. It's exactly geared towards visitor serving. So all types of restaurant uses, bicycle rentals, and those types of things would all be currently permitted out of that location.
Okay. I have a comment.
Yes.
Several residents actually had mentioned that they thought it might be a good location for a historical museum for people to come into to see things with residents donating items of historical value to give a history of the city for people who come in at the train station or, you know, are in that area. And I know there were several members of the community who expressed an interest in helping. So that's a suggestion.
Would have to be me.
Okay. What was that?
Would have to be staffed, obviously.
It would be done by volunteers is what I understood. Such as they do in a Rio Grande there.
Yeah. So I think you're getting this feedback correct.
Yes,
and I would imagine before any decisions be ma-